trigger warning. This podcast is intended for men, not boys, not babies, men.
This is how we disable toxic masculinity.
We need to kill all men.
This pagan patriarchalism that is coming back out of the shadows.
Feminists hate patriarchy.
It's the woman that runs the show and the woman that runs the community and is the backbone of their area.
I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman.
Patriarchy.
You are f***ing male privilege.
Are you saying you have authority over me? Go get your superior!
I personally can't see why egalitarianism would be a bad thing.
The assumption that wives should make babies instead of money is part of the patriarchy.
Don't f***ing say hi to strange women you don't know.
Patriarchy.
The patriarchy.
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 But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And that is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. You are on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you are listening to The Patriarchy. My name is Tony DePonte, and I am joined by my co-host, Pastor Joseph Randall Spurgeon.
Woman, get back in here and make me a sandwich.
Joseph, what sandwich are you eating today?
Well, I'm going to have to live vicariously through you today, Tony.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to have a sandwich right now.
Did your wife forbid you? Tell me it's not true.
No, not my wife. My doctor. I have a kidney stone that I'm trying to pass, and it is not fun. And so sorry to be a Debbie Downer here at our funny segment, but I'm just going to have to live vicariously through whatever sandwich that you're eating. And I can only eat steak.
I want that doctor. Sounds good to me. Only steak. Well, if you're living vicariously through me this week, might not be the best week for that. I don't have a sandwich for this, but
Having muffins again?
No, I'm not. Although those are really good, though. Okay, they're good. I had leftovers before; those are good. You can't knock them until you try.
Do you have a little doily to put your dainty on? And are you wearing a dress?
No.
What color is your dress, Tony? What color? It's your dress.
This took a strange turn. okay.
Is it pink?
No.
Is it pink?
It's not a dress.
Your dress is not pink. Okay.
My dress is not pink. What color is your dress, then? Well, I don't have a sandwich. I was supposed to have a kind of soup and whatnot. My wife actually had ordered this chicken broth from the grocery store, and occasionally when they don't have something, they substitute it for something else. And she said she wasn't paying attention, and it looked the same when they substituted it. She didn't catch it till we got home. But instead of chicken broth, they gave us vegan soy protein broth.
They must have known. They really knew what you needed.
So in other words, I just went hungry. Yeah. Ain't nobody going to eat that.
So, vegan soy broth.
Protein. Yeah, right? That's a thing, apparently. And that's gross. So,
all right. Do you have anything manly for us?
You have anything manly for us?
Since we're both kind of hurting here in this segment.
We're hurting. I'm hungry, and you're on a steak diet. I don't know if... Okay. we have a segment.
You done messed up, Aaron!
Marcus was absolutely awful. That's about as PG rated as I can say it. I swear I thought one time that one of our players said Merry Christmas. It's unbelievable how our starting guards play. My wife can score more than two buckets on 11 shots. When a dog does something wrong, there was a sniper in the gym. Bad dog, get on the treadmill. Navy SEAL Team 6 was out there. So I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
I feel a lot better already, man. That coach got me pumped.
There you go. Yeah.
No, that was a coach, I think, of a basketball team, giving his post-game interview. And if you haven't seen that, you need to go find the original. It is hilarious. I like watching some of those post-game rants. One of my favorites is the one where he's talking about practice. In fact, anytime I hear anybody say the word practice, that's mainly what I think about. So there's like, you know, I think there's a Bible verse that talks about practice. And that's immediately I'm like, we're talking about practice? So, Tony, you're a big sports fan. I'm taking it.
I was, but I'm from Cleveland. Hence the past tense, I was.
So you said you're a big Cleveland fan. What were you a fan of?
Probably the biggest is I was a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the day, back when Mark Price and Brad Doherty and Larry Nance and all them played.
So you were not a fan when LeBron was there?
Not really. I mean, I know a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon just because they were sure we were going to win or something. I mean, I watched some of the games. It was over for me back when they traded away Mark Price, who's like my favorite player growing up. And there's a point where Cleveland just basically traded everybody that was like a long-term teammate. And then the Browns, not that the Browns were ever that great, but then the Browns just disappeared and we didn't have a football team for the longest time. And then the Indians almost won. And then they decided they were going to trade off everybody that was good the next year. And yeah, about at that point, I kind of was just done.
Okay.
Not that I didn't still play, but I just didn't watch as much anymore.
So did you play any sports growing up?
Yeah. I played basketball. I didn't play baseball in any teams really, but I played, we had kind of a sandlot type team in our, in the neighborhood I lived in, and we all played every summer, but basketball. Yeah. I played for teams.
Okay. Yeah. I played growing up as well. I didn't play basketball, but not too big in basketball in West Virginia, but we did play some baseball. I played Little League and Babe Ruth and played a little football. So sports was a fun thing growing up. When I was in college, the football team in my college went undefeated and had a few some really good seasons where we were ranked in the top 10 in the country. So I kind of got obsessed with it for a while with Marshall University, and didn't miss a game, to be honest with you. And so it was some fun times, but interesting thing about sports is just how big they have become in our day. I can remember when I was young playing sports and even organized sports, but it was not this thing where like I hear today of people like doing traveling ball with their like 2 year old, you know. It's like he's got baseball on Saturday and Sunday and Sunday afternoon, and he's going to travel, you know, and he's like 3 years old. He can't even hold a catcher's mitt, but he's going to play travel ball because he's going to be the next big thing. And so sports are kind of all around us, and they've kind of taken over Sundays for many people. And, you know, I used to be a student minister at some churches. And man, that was one of the hardest things, was just how many Christians were given over to like they sports was way more important than bringing their children and their students to church. And so, one of the things we wanted to talk about today then is athletics and sports and how we relate to it as men. Thinking about that verse, Tony, that you read, the Bible does teach us that our physical bodies, you know, they're gifts from God, that God made all things, including matter. one of the things that we are not is we are not Gnostics. We don't have this view of the physical realm as it being evil and then somehow the spiritual realm, like earth real kind of stuff, is what is actually what matters. And so we don't have this false dichotomy as Christians, but oftentimes Christians do have this false dichotomy. They will either put all their attention on the physical, so they become like obsessed with athletics and sports, and you know, their child has to be in every sport on every day of the week, or otherwise their child is not getting the experience of being a child, and we're robbing them of their childhood and of their possible future career. And so there is, you can put a whole of all your focus and attention on the physical, but even in our day, there's the reaction to that. I think the natural reaction that we can have is to see that as idolatry and then to abandon the idea of the physical realm. And then like the only thing that matters is Sunday worship service, is the only thing that matters is your personal Bible study time and those type of things over against anything in the physical. And that verse reminds us that the physical, our bodily discipline is of profit, but it's not profitable apart from really godliness. So godliness, to be very careful here, I think, is that godliness is not some kind of spiritual thing apart from the physical, the day-to-day living and that kind of thing. But godliness is more than just the physical. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
And so when the scripture tells us bodily discipline is for little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, because it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so godliness then is over the physical, and our mental, every aspect of us is to be given over to godliness. What we do in the body matters, but it matters because it's not just for this present life, but for the life to come. Our obedience to God, our being faithful to Him, and serving Him is what truly life is about. It's how we glorify Him in all things. And so there's a danger, I think, when we come to talk about sports, as we're thinking about this and how men can interact with sports, there's the two ditches on either side. There is the ditch of giving yourself completely over to these things apart from godliness, giving yourself over in an idolatry without any thinking. But then there is the ditch on the other side, which sees no use of something like a sport or physical activity or physical training.
Well, it's interesting that in the verses, you know, I read at the beginning of the episode, people gloss over the fact that, you know, in verse 8, it says, for bodily discipline is only of little profit. I think they read into it, for bodily discipline is of no profit, but it doesn't say no profit. It says little profit, but so it still means some profit.
Yeah. And I think the temptation is to say no profit, and so I'm going to have nothing to do with it. I don't think we're saying here you've got to do sports to be a godly person, to be a Christian. But what I would say, men thrive on things like competition. We thrive on having to battle and to fight and to exert physical activity and exert effort to achieve a goal. And we thrive with that community. And sports is one possibility of a tool to help us with that, to help train for that. So there was this interview that I remember a while back of Tom Brady talking about the Super Bowl, and he's already won these Super Bowls, and he's getting ready to play in another one, and they're interviewing him, and he's like, he says something along the lines, there has to be more to life than this. And absolutely true. Playing sports, playing anything, doing any activity with our bodies for our own glory, for earthly, worldly benefits, they leave you empty and wanting. I think Vody Bakum says something very helpful about children and raising your children with the same kind of mindset of something more, which is, if you teach your child to keep his eye on the ball but not his eye on Christ, you have failed.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And so I think there can be great gain in sports and sport activities, rightly ordered, recognizing that they are of little profit, but rightly ordered to God's glory. And I think there can be some profit to it, but man, if you keep your eye on the ball and you forget the eye on Christ, what have you gained? If you gained the whole world, if you're Tom Brady and you won every Super Bowl, what have you gained if you don't have Jesus Christ?
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be on the line with a man who has done quite a bit of ministry around men and women who are obsessed with sports. When we come back, we'll be on the line with Michael Coughlin from Columbus, Ohio. So stick around. You're on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you are listening to The Patriarchy. We'll be right back.
I am here to tell you I want you to have life, newness of life. God promises to make you a new creature, a creature who doesn't have that same sinful nature that you had before. You will still struggle with the flesh that you live in, this dead body of wretchedness that we have to survive in, but you'll have a new heart. He circumcises our hearts spiritually so that we will be softened and sensitized to His laws, to His righteousness, to His love, to His Holy Spirit's leading. And Jesus Christ alone is who can do that. And every moment that you reject Him with the very breath that He is...
We are on the line with Michael Coughlin. Michael's from Columbus, Ohio. He's a Bible preacher. He writes for Things Above Us, and he is married to his wife, Erin, and together they have 8 children, 3 of which are in heaven. Michael, welcome to The Patriarchy.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, bud. Good to have you on here. First question I need to know is, what sandwich are you eating today?
What sandwich am I eating today?
Yeah, because I'm not able to have one. So I'm trying to live vicariously through others.
You know what? My wife made barbecued pulled pork tonight.
Nice, nice.
And it was phenomenal.
That's good.
So she slow cooks it all day, and yeah. So that was my dinner.
His wife slow cooks it all day, Tony, just like yours. She stays right beside.
This is a frequent joke between
the
us.
Stove the whole
show.
Day long.
Every time it's I so say good. That my wife cooked my sandwich in a slow cooker or something, he always asks me if I had my wife stand next to the slow cooker and watch it all day long. Which, no, for the record, she doesn't do.
It's a good patriarchy podcast joke, though, to keep going, I think.
It is. Yeah. It's one of our staples. It's good.
Kind of like a sandwich. All right. Hey, good to have you, Michael. We wanted to have you on, and we wanted to talk about something that you are familiar with, which is sports. You're familiar with sports because you've played some growing up or something I think you shared beforehand. Tell us a little bit about that. Did you play any sports growing up, and what is your relationship to sports?
You know, my entire life has been really, really revolved around sports in many ways. And I think one of the primary reasons is that my dad was really into sports. And when I was a kid, we watched sports on TV, we played sports, and once in a while we'd go to sporting events, and it was just really natural for me to enjoy those things because, you know, I enjoyed doing them with my dad, and then I liked competing personally. I'm still a very competitive person, and so sports was a natural outlet for those kinds of things, and so I played sports from... at the time I was probably 5 years old, I guess. And
what did you play?
But when I was little, it was soccer and baseball. That was kind of the two main things growing up. And then when I got to high school, I played football.
Nice.
And I did some wrestling, and I threw the shot and disc. And then eventually I started playing a lot of basketball with friends, not ever organized. And, you know, the kinds of things you can just go do, like as a young man, you know, basketball, racquetball, things of that sort. That it's like being active. And I've always found that, you know, even now I'm sort of constantly trying to lose weight and trying to do different things exercise wise. And it's amazing. You put a basketball in my hand and I'll go run for an hour and I won't even think about it. But if you ask me to go run for 10 minutes without that ball, I'd look at you like you're crazy. So there's something about it that just allows you to exert energy and it makes it exciting. But one of my problems was in high school, and you know, I don't want to, I'm sure there's a lot of other guys that had better careers than I did, but I was an above average football player, and I was receiving a lot of accolades, and that really went to my head. This is I was saved when I was an adult. So I was a high school kid with the classic kind of low self-esteem, and I started getting popular because of success in football, especially. And it really became an idol for me. It was the only focus of my life, to the point where, you know, other things didn't matter anymore because I had football. And, you know, I praise the Lord. In fact, I was talking to a buddy about this morning, because he had a similar experience to me. And that is that the Lord really took that away from me through injuries. And now I didn't get saved or anything like that at that time, but I was pretty quickly had to find some other purpose in life. Now I didn't find any good one at the time. I just turned to drinking, but sports was the big deal for me. And I still, loved to watch sports for a long, long time. And I really understand, I guess, you know, I know you guys are going to talk about some other things here too, but I understand sort of the attraction that comes to our carnal mind with all sorts of different kinds of sporting events. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the deal. I mean, it's very good. There's a lot of good things that come from sports. I remember when I was young too, I played baseball, man, and I loved baseball. It was kind of like the Sandlot movie. If you've ever seen that movie, that was like my childhood a lot in the backyard. And
yeah, I'm old enough. I saw it in a theater. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember going to the theater to watch that movie. Yeah.
So. Nice. Yeah.
I remember what Joseph was talking about though. Some of the camaraderie that was built though.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, there's a lot of good things that sports, that can come from sports, which is, it is helpful to your, I hate to say this word, but even like your self-esteem, just of building you up, having to have accomplished something, working hard. You know, as God made men, he made us to accomplish things. And a lot of times the things he wants us to accomplish takes work and effort and fighting. A life is a battle, and we can get tired of that. And one of the things sports teaches is that there is a battle, that it takes work and sweating and grinding it out, and you can accomplish something. And there is that kind of building you up from that. So, man, I'm very appreciative of sports for me when I was growing up and time with my father and brothers and those type of things. But you're absolutely right too, that there could be an issue of idolatry that has happened. One of the things I can remember growing up is that when I was young, people still didn't quite play. So you didn't do like travel league or anything like that on Sundays. It wasn't as like now where it's like, every little kid is going to be the next Peyton Manning or the next Nolan Ryan or whatever. Every kid's going to be the next sports star. So now you've got to drag them all over creation. Then it wasn't like that. And yet I can remember it starting to become like that. And my parents had to put a set thing. You're not going to do sports on Sundays. Mm-hmm. But now, man, like it's everywhere. And if you don't do it on Sundays, people look at you weird. So you were talking about idolatry. And so how did God get you away from the idolatry of it, Michael? You talked about injury. So what did God do to save you from that and then kind of bring you back around to now where you're still doing things with sports, but just in a different aspect?
You know, when I got saved, I was 30 years old, and at that time, I probably would have watched football all day Saturday and Sunday the entire fall. And the rest of the year, I didn't watch a lot of sports, mostly just because I didn't like any sports except football by then. But I would keep up with off-season things. And when I got saved, I still liked sports. And in fact, I probably had a slow period of time where I started to realize, wow, this is unhealthy how much investment I have in it. And I'll honestly, I'm going to credit the Cleveland Browns and their poor play.
Wow. That's the only thing good that's ever come out of there.
I don't know what. Yeah, no, and because I joke about it, but I'm partially serious. If the Browns had been good, I don't know where I'd be right now. But the Browns have been so bad since, you know, I got saved in 2006. They have been not worth watching. Mm-hmm. And it just became a natural reaction to really pathetic football that I just stopped watching as much. And I started to, you know, just do what Christians ought to do. I started to develop affections for other things and enjoyment in other things. And I've started to, you know, to me, making sure I'm on the couch to see a football game is just a far lower priority than if my little boy wants to play catch.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just something that came natural to me when I had kids while I was unsaved. And now it's even more natural as a Christian. So that's really, I joke about it. I do trust the Holy Spirit would have matured me either way, but I feel like I would have matured slower, and I would have grieved the Spirit had the Browns played better.
You've heard the story about the Browns fan that died, and he left in his will that he wanted the Browns to kind of be his pallbearers, and the reason was he wanted the Browns to let him down one more time.
Yeah. I've heard that one quite a few times.
Yeah, I heard the joke that God doesn't play favorites in sports because, you know, he just doesn't care. Except with the Browns. He really hates the Browns.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that because you know, I'm an open air preacher, and I go to I go to Ohio State Buckeyes games mostly. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a lot of other games, but I go to a lot of Ohio State Buckeyes games. And while I'm preaching, one of the most common things people will say to me is, does God like the Buckeyes, or does God hate Michigan? And they'll just ask these kind of questions. Like that. And some preachers will say, you know, God doesn't care about, you know, who wins a football game. And some of that, and I guess compared to, you know, some eternal matters, that's mm-hmm. true. But often I've just sort of said to people, well, you know, obviously he liked the Buckeyes better than Michigan right now, because he's sovereign and he's the one that is in control of all things. And so when we, you know, so I try to have fun with the mm-hmm. people as they're walking by. While still giving them truth, and you know, you can tell the difference between if somebody's being blasphemous or if they're just kind of joking around.
Well, I was just gonna say, how did you get into sports ministry to begin with? How did you get into going to sporting events and sharing the gospel?
So So for me, it was really being recruited by other people who were doing the same kind of thing, especially the Super Bowl. And because of my excitement that I had over sports in general, which I still really like watching football games. I mean, I really like that sport. When I found out there were people going to the Super Bowl, I thought that was really neat. And so I signed up to go to a Super Bowl outreach with Sports Fan Outreach International. And that was like 2012 or I don't know, whenever it was in Indianapolis. So maybe it's 2011. I don't remember. And what I found is that it was just a really enjoyable time of fellowship with other people. And I enjoy being on the street preaching. I enjoy being on the street with groups of people who are doing tracks. And it was Bill Adams from Sports Fan Outreach who just, you know, kind of encouraged me, like, well, hey, why don't you do this more often? Go to a Buckeyes game. And then he said, why don't you go to all the Buckeyes games? And it took a few years before I could make that kind of commitment. But it just kind of naturally progressed to, hey, you know, I'm a busy guy. I've got a full-time job. I've got four kids at home. Two of them are under six. I don't have the kind of time that maybe I'd like to just go out and do some preaching a few nights a week and go into a shelter or a mission. You know, I don't have that kind of time that where I would do it all the, like every day, a little evangelism here or there. So what I found is that sporting events, I'm almost tongue in cheek. It's kind of like the lazy evangelist way of doing things. If I go down to Ohio State on a Saturday in the fall, I can preach to almost 50,000 people in a few hours and then go home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not like, it's not like you get credit for how many people or anything like that, but there's just a point where I can feel like I've had an impact. I've been able to spread the seed of the gospel. I've been able to spread the word of God, and I've been able to spread it rather broadly to a large number of people. We passed out me and my team this year, since March, we've passed out nearly 20,000 tracts.
Mm, wow.
And it's just, you know, a small group of people that are just out there, regularly laboring. And so we just found that sports events is just kind of an easy place to go find large numbers of people that are gathered together. And, you know, I guess probably a part of it is because I was one of those people once. I mean, I was a season ticket holder in Cleveland for probably at least 5 years of my life, driving up from Columbus on Sundays to do these games before I was a churchgoer. And I think there's a part of that where I look at those people and I see myself, I see my brother, my dad, you know, people like that. And I want them to hear the word of God. So that's really how I got started, was other people who were doing it, encouraging me and telling me what an effective place it could be to preach the gospel.
What are some of the, I mean, I know you can't tell them all, but what are some of the experiences that you had? Maybe pick one that stands out as a really good experience, a good interaction you had with somebody, and maybe pick one out that maybe was, I wouldn't say bad experience, but maybe a negative reaction that you had.
So I'll do the bad one first because it came to mind quicker. There's... When I'm out there street preaching, the bad experience, the most bad one that I've had, I mean, there's some, probably been some physical stuff, but when people walk by and they tell you that they're a Christian and they say something like, this is not the way to reach people. And they have a very condescending, disapproving look. And there was one guy last year in 2018 who walked by and he said, right message, wrong method. And it was just really disappointing. And it always cuts me, even though I believe in preaching, it always cuts me to think of this guy either being a Christian, not understanding evangelism, or being a false convert. And what's strange is I was convinced I saw that guy again this year and that he repeated the same phrase to me. Mm. And I don't remember exactly what he looked like. So, you know, it was hard, but that's what really, I think, hurts me the most. If some guy who really loves, you know, fornication and idolizes sports and loves drinking beer walks by and he yells something goofy, like, that doesn't really bother me. That was me. I was that debaucherous, you know, crazy guy who would have gone up to the preacher and done something weird or something I thought was funny just to get my friend's attention. It's the people who like that guy who's either a Christian or maybe a false convert that they really hurt my heart. And that is the hardest thing to face for me personally. And then as far as a good experience, I would say it's just the very opposite of that. When a Christian walks up to you and says, thank you for doing this. Mm-hmm. When they say, thank you for being here. Thank you for preaching God's word. And it's just the opposite reaction of the other one. And that is the encouragement that God sends to keep me going. So, I would say if I want to rely on Christ alone for strength, I guess I'd argue back and say, well, God uses means to encourage his people. And oftentimes it's the Wisconsin fan who walks by while I'm preaching at a Buckeyes game wearing my Ohio State stuff, usually, because that's the home team. That's the team that I would root for. And it's the Wisconsin fan that comes up and says, amen, thanks for being here. And I realized in that moment that I have more in common with that person than all the Buckeyes fans that are wearing the same jersey I'm wearing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my brother or sister in the Lord. So those are really the best experiences. And I've had a couple people profess salvation, and there's been a couple people that you know, really we had some good conversations with as well. But it's, those little encouragements for me are big, real big.
So as we're heading to the end of our interview here, what would you say to the men that, because primarily our audience is men, what would you say to the men listening as far as how to rightly approach sports and how to take safeguards to not make it into an idol, not make it into something that's harmful?
I think that one of the easy ways, and I think we can always fall into like kind of a legalistic way of doing things if we're not careful. But I think one way is to just measure your time. Measure your time. How much time am I spending watching sports, thinking about sports, listening to talk radio, setting my fantasy football lineup, whatever we happen to do, all these things that aren't in and of themselves evil, am I doing them, maybe spending more time doing those things than I do in prayer and study of the word? I think that would be one way to kind of look at our life and think, is this really taking on too much importance? And another one for me is I would ask myself if I'm willing to go to the same lengths of dedication and sacrifice for my Lord and for my church as I am for my sport. And the example I would give is the people who will, when people want to go to a football game, they will bundle up, they will bring hand warmers, foot warmers, they'll sit out in the cold. You know, they will dedicate a whole day to it. They'll get there early, they'll park, they get their ticket, they'll spend $200-$300. And then you ask those same people, hey, would you come with me to evangelize next week? And like, no, I'm busy. I don't have time for that. And I would ask people, I would tell people, hey, look at how you're spending your time. And then I think that the other thing that's not even really on my radar anymore, but maybe some men should think about it. And I should probably take heed lest I fall now that I said this, but it's how angry do you get when your team loses? You know, like how emotional does it just change you when things in sports don't go the way you want them to? because if you're that affected by it, that is probably an indicator that there's just too much investment in it.
Oh, that's good. Well, hey, before we let you go, if somebody listening maybe has a couple questions for you, or they want to read some of the stuff that you've written, how can they get in contact with you, and where can they find you?
You know, my email is michael@thingsabove.us. And also, if you go to thingsabove.us, you can read some of my reports. I mean, you can read my articles if you know you're interested in my theology and things. But I've written reports from a lot of my outreaches that I think if somebody was listening to this was interested, that would be what they might be interested in. Thingsabove.us or michaelcoughlin.net is my blog site, my personal blog that I've had forever. And I've put just tons of pictures and reports from outreaches. And so those would be ways people could just, you know, read about it, maybe listen to an audio that I posted of open air. A lot of people don't realize what an open air sermon can sound like. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I don't think, realize how biblical we really try to make them. These are what we believe to be good, like biblical sermons. They're just not as deep because we're not preaching to Christ's sheep. We're preaching to a wide variety of people that just need the gospel at the time.
And I,
so thanks for asking. I'd love to answer questions people have. And one of the things I love doing, Tony and Joseph, is I love bringing people with me. We had several people this year that came with us to do evangelism, and it was their first time. And so many people have just come back, and they've realized that there's good fellowship there, and it's good service, and it's really something that they've committed. Hey, I want to do this as part of my Christian life. And so I offer that. I offer basically to help you do that.
Good stuff, man. Well, hey, thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking the time out of your night. And thank your wife for loaning you to us. We really appreciate it. And I think this is a subject that men in particular need to think about and really, I think, pray about as far as how it's affecting their life and how they view it. That's why we wanted to do this interview with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Can I say one last thing?
Yeah, go for it.
It's that sports do seem to bring out of us something that's sort of built into our human nature, that desire for community and that desire to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think that for the Christian, we should be finding that in fellowship with our wife, fellowship at our church, even fellowship with guys on, you know, that you haven't met, or in our case, we've met, but I haven't met Joseph. And so I think that that's one way we can watch for, you know, my really finding my joy and my, you know, my community because of other Buckeyes fans, or is it more exciting to me to meet a Christian? And so that's just something to think about too.
No, that's good. I think that's the perfect way to end it. Thanks for coming on, Michael. We genuinely appreciate it. This was a good interview.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
That was Michael Coughlin from Columbus, Ohio, and Things Above Us. You are listening to The Patriarchy on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. We'll be right back.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice, not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game.
What are we talking about again? What are we talking about?
Practice.
Practice. Talking about practice. Hey, you know what? When I was growing up, my dad, he put me in a couple different sports, one of which was t-ball, which I hated. And I diligently kept playing until finally, I think one day he asked me, do you like T-ball? And I said, no, Dad, I hate it. And he said, okay, we'll quit. And because he had said that, you know, that I had played out the season and that was what mattered. And then I played basketball, and I like basketball much better. I actually enjoy baseball, but I just think I hated the T-ball part of it. But that being said, one of the things my dad taught me about sports, and he did a good job of it, is he taught me what it meant, ironically, with that quote that we just listened to. He taught me the value of practice. That, you know, if you don't put in the effort, if you don't practice, and the game is, you're not going to do well. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And that actually means something. But he also just taught me the value of hard work out of that and basically anything in life. But he was not one of those dads that made sports like a true idol or anything. He you know, it wasn't about we had to trek all over town to do this. This was just about something that he and I did together. And he kept telling me that he wanted me to learn the value of hard work, of honing some kind of a skill, and diligent practice. And I still to this day appreciate that. That's something that I'm trying to instill in my kids, regardless of what it is. I think that that's something that sports can do, especially for a young boy and a young man. And my dad did a good job. He did a good job using that, I think, rightly, versus I know there are a lot of other fathers out there that absolutely make sports an idol. And even in a way, I think, live through their children. I think that's a danger, too.
Yeah, and so I think it's Rusty Thomas that always says the Christian life is like a tightrope walk. And that's so true. And when I think everything we talk about on our show is this tightrope, that there are ditches on all sides, things that you can fall into. And one thing that I see happening many times on social media is we see something like sports, and man, we practice our holiness by how we talk down about those who may think about or look at or talk about sports. And we really reveal how holy and how great we are, because we would never dare to talk about what football game is going to happen on this weekend. And the thing really, it is usually the people that are doing that, they're just unathletic. They're just not athletic. They're geeks. So it's natural for them not to talk about those things. Yeah, but they could do it in such a way that it's like, oh, that makes me more holy. It makes me more holy, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the other side where you're like, you're Tim Tebowing it all over the place, right? Right? You're like, somehow God is so concerned about your sports team, and we idolize athletics. I can't tell me how many times growing up at church we would have some sports figure, somebody that almost made it to the sports team. They you know, this coming Sunday, guys, you don't want to miss out at the youth group as John comes and talks about how he almost made it to professional baseball team that one time, you know. And oh man, we're all going to be there, and we think that's how what we have to do to reach the culture. And so, man, avoid the ditches. And the way to avoid the ditches is, funny enough, is practice. Yeah. It's practice. In fact, Philippians 4:9 tells us, the Apostle Paul says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The apostles set a pretty good example for us, and these are not wimpy men. The Apostle Paul is not afraid to talk about sports. He uses some sports metaphors. He talks about racing, and he talks about winning the crown. And so He's not afraid of these things, to use them to push us towards righteousness and towards holiness. And so I think we can actually model and follow the example and practice these things, practice what God has revealed to us in his word. And then you avoid the ditches, right? You take care of your body, take care of your mind, and you take care of your spirit. You're being faithful with what God has given you.
I was actually fortunate when I was growing up. My favorite sports figure, my favorite player, actually went to the church that I went to growing up. My favorite player was Mark Price, Cleveland Cavaliers. I still argue one of the best point guards of all time, and was exceptionally talented. He was a very good point guard. But ironically, unlike the people you talked about that almost made it, they're always talking at your youth group, Mark never talked about his career at church. You would be hard pressed if you didn't know who he was to know that he was a professional NBA player, and as good as he was. Occasionally he'd stop in and play basketball with the guys, but it wasn't like a planned thing. He'd just kind of pop in. Although I could imagine, man, if you think about playing a pickup basketball game and a professional NBA player, hey, can I join? And he's on the other team. That had to not be fun. But he was just a super humble, kind, nice guy. And he actually shopped at my parents' shop, our store that we had growing up. And I don't know, maybe that's somewhat of a mercy from God that my favorite player was that kind of man. He was a believer, obviously, and I felt privileged that was my favorite player. And so I never quite got into the era of when I made or making sports into some kind of an idol. Again, also part of that was because of Cleveland and trading away all of the good players and just not being good anymore, or just trading their entire team away. But yeah, I do remember being appreciative that was the kind of player that Mark was.
Before we head off for the week, I wanted to mention two quick things to our listeners. The first is that a company called Kingsman Grooming sent over some of their products for us to try out. This is not a paid review. They actually sent it free of charge for us to just say something about it on the show. And we wanted to let you know what we thought. They sent over what's called the Squire, which is a pack of their beard balm and also beard oil. And I have actually been using this for the better part of a week now. I previously only used beard wax, actually. And that may sound gross to you, but if those of you have a beard like mine, it can get kind of unruly. And so you have to have something to kind of tame it down. And I got to tell you, going from the beard wax that I use to their beard balm and also the beard oil, it's been night and day on my beard. My beard actually feels better. It itches less. I feel like it's actually healthier when I look at it. So if you guys want to try this out for yourselves, go over to Kingsman Grooming Pros, PROS.com. That's Kingsman Grooming Pros.com. And if you get a chance, tell them that the patriarchy sent you. The second thing is this. This is something I know you guys have also been waiting for, and now it is finally here. We have partnered with Confessional Wear to make Patriarchy merchandise. So if you would like to get a Patriarchy t-shirt or a Patriarchy coffee mug, go to confessionalwear.com, click on their menu, and go to Podcast Collaborations and find the Patriarchy podcast on there. Currently, we have two shirts and a coffee mug, and there will be more to come, but we want to kind of get something out there right away so that you guys could grab some Patriarchy merchandise and trigger feminists wherever you go. So head over to confessionalwear.com, click on Podcast Collaborations, and look for the Patriarchy podcast. And as always, if you are not yet a Fight Laugh Feast Club member, go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY when you do. It goes to support our show, support the network, and gets you access to extra content and behind-the-scenes goodies. So go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY to support our show. So until next time, if you have not yet bowed your knee to Christ, repent and believe. And if you have, this is our call to you. Build, fight, protect, lead. This is the Patriarchy.